My father-in-law died during a snowy owl invasion. For weeks, every morning, either my husband or I or both of us drove to Port Wing, and every single day we saw at least one snowy owl, sometimes several. Many people believe seeing an owl portends a death, but really no more people died that winter than other years, and other people I've loved died without my seeing a single owl anywhere near the time of their death. And most people seeing those owls didn't lose anyone that year. Those owls weren't there because my father-in-law was dying. They were there for reasons particular to them. But their presence, though unconnected in any way to me, was endlessly comforting to me. Something deep within humans makes us yearn to understand the universe and our place in it. Ironically, this human need is precisely at the crux of both science and religion. Scientists look at birds and see research subjects that can help us understand evolution, animal behavior, how brain neurons regenerate, and all manner of other subjects. Other people look at those same birds and see mystic connections to angels. Indeed, virtually all depictions of angels show them with bird wings. To raise birds even higher in our spiritual awareness, Christians have the New Testament line about God noting the fall of a sparrow. Some bird songs are ethereally beautiful, and some birds seem to fly up almost to the sky, which many of us associate with heaven. Even people who don't belong to any religious faith usually have some sense of yearning that our love for nature is requited. Robert Frost wrote a lovely poem, Two Look at Two, about a couple taking a walk and encountering a doe and then a buck in the woods. Frost ends the poem, "Still they stood, a great wave from it going over them, as if the earth in one unlooked-for favor had made them certain earth returned their love." I'm pretty sure that when I die, my kids will think of me when they see chickadees, but I trust they won't think my soul is flitting around in those tiny beings who have plenty enough on their plate as it is without having to drag human spirits everywhere they go. Many of us, especially me, look to birds for spiritual comfort, but that should not require molding birds to meet our spiritual needs. Brooks Atkinson wrote, "Although birds coexist with us on this eroded planet, they live independently of us with a self-sufficiency that is almost a rebuke. In the world of birds, a symposium on the purpose of life would be inconceivable. They do not need it. We are not that self-reliant. We are the ones who have lost our way." But watching birds can help us find our way. When it comes down to it, seeing birds as birds, not as angels or messengers, but simply as themselves, whether flying in the heavens or pulling worms up from the earth, is plenty beautiful and evocative enough. While grappling with breast cancer, Rachel Carson wrote, "There is symbolic as well as actual beauty in the migration of the birds, in the ebb and flow of the tides, responding to sun and moon as they have done for millions of years, in the repose of the folded bud in winter ready within its sheath for spring. There is something infinitely healing in these repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that night after night dawn comes and spring after winter." Terry Tempest Williams wrote in her lyrical book Refuge, "I pray to the birds. I pray to the birds because I believe they will carry the messages of my heart upward. I pray to them because I believe in their existence, the way their songs begin and end each day, the invocations and benedictions of earth. I pray to the birds because they remind me of what I love rather than what I fear, and at the end of my prayers, they teach me how to listen." That was Terry Tempest Williams, and I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.